Well, good morning again. So happy to have you join us this morning for the Word for Life radio broadcast. I'm Pastor Greg Huffman. And we started last time with an interview with Tom and Karen Pahulski as they were sharing just a fantastic testimony of their salvation, starting from a rap session with a friend who opened his Bible. And then it became a Bible study. And you guys trusted the Lord as your Savior and then got married and then began to just desire children. But yet it was 5 years, I think you said, and finally found a doctor that the Lord led you to and said, little problem here with you, Karen, and we can do this. And then you started trusting the Lord. And then it looked like a possibility of a miscarriage, but then God held that off, and Lisa was born. Now, we closed the broadcast last time by saying, was Lisa the only one? So we'll pick up there.
Lisa was not the only one. First of all, we continued fertility drugs for Karen, and we were blessed with our firstborn son, Timothy Matthew, and Tim's name, I believe, means honoring God.
Right. Okay.
Right.
So that was kind of special. Always sweet to have a firstborn son.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Love you, Tim. So then that worked very well, and they had a successful child. And thirdborn was Mandy Lynn, and again, with fertility drugs. And Mandy, you're special, too. Love you. And the fourthborn, Bonnie Kay. And same thing, fertility drugs for Bonnie.
Now, are we four children in what kind of period of time?
Four years.
Basically, one a year.
Yes.
So you'd have like two or three babies in diapers.
Yes.
At one time.
Yes.
Two, mostly, yeah.
It was actually kind of fun when they messed up. It was like, you know, Karen's like, Tom, I need some help here.
Right,
and it's
right.
Like, oh, I'll take care of it. Just throw them all in the bathtub and
hose them down.
No. Hose them down. There you go.
Yeah. So we have some really cute pictures of these little kids all in the bathtub at the same time.
Yeah, and they don't want those shown at their weddings, do they?
No,
yeah.
No, not at all.
So after 4 years, was the doctor still okay?
No. Our fertility specialist doctor that helped us along with this approached us and said, you've pushed your luck here now, and that's enough. I think you should definitely have your tubes tied now. And he actually came to us begging us, almost on his knees, to please stop any further birth now.
Wow.
And from the bottom of his heart, he was begging us to stop. But Karen and I learned at a seminar, I believe, that we attended one time to trust God in these kind of areas of our life.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, really look to God and trust Him.
Right.
So we were committed to that, and we wanted God to open and close the womb as He pleases. It was an area of our life that we felt we didn't want to control. We didn't want birth control.
Mm-hmm.
We were strongly convinced and convicted that to follow the Lord in this area.
Okay.
And to not try to stop any future birth.
Right.
And my comment to that was, God makes it real clear that children are a gift from Him.
Mm-hmm.
And I always felt that, why wouldn't I want a gift from God?
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, how special is that to have God give us a gift
mm-hmm.
directly from Him? So that was so special.
We did make a decision at that time that we were not going to take more fertility drugs
okay.
to conceive another child.
Right, right.
If we were pushing the envelope, we didn't want to be
guilty of something that...
Okay.
Right.
So then I think Brian would be the next child.
Yep.
Yep. So how long between...
There's just a year between Bonnie and Brian.
Okay, all right.
So yes, Brian came along without any fertility drugs and our fifth child in 5 years.
Uh-huh. You can obviously see that no fertility drugs really stunted his growth,
no,
didn't
not
it?
Not at all.
Oh, it was kind of, I used to hold Brian on my lap, and I'd look at his fingers, and they were twice as long as all the other babies' fingers. And
yeah.
His toes were real long. And
how tall is he now?
6'7".
6'7".
Yeah.
My goodness.
Yeah.
Okay, so that was number 5 in 5 years.
Yep.
Are we done with the story?
No, not done yet. Karen, you want to tell the rest of the story?
Well, we were really content with the children we had, but did feel something was missing yet. So we did consult with the doctor and took fertility drugs again for our Katie, our sixth born.
Okay.
And it did take more medication as I was aging and a little more time, but God blessed us with Katie.
Okay.
And she was our sixth born.
Right.
She was born in 1992.
Okay.
The doctor hasn't said anything in these last two children. He just kind of felt we would know what we were doing at this time.
Okay.
Yeah, by then I think he knew our heartbeats, that we were trusting God.
Right. And, okay.
Right.
And you weren't having any issues in your pregnancies?
Well, I did have some preterm labor.
Okay.
So all the kids were born 3 to 4 weeks early.
Okay.
Which confined me to bed rest for some of the kids. But
right.
It was still manageable.
Right.
And
yeah.
It was not life-threatening.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
So then you have one more you want to tell us about.
Yes, Daniel. He's a year younger than Katie. He was born in 1993. And I was on bed rest with him for a long time. It was over 100 days, and I had to have an IV pump to stop the contractions, the medication, and God saw fit to bring him to our family on 7-7 of 93, and we felt that he was our seventh.
The number of completion.
Number seven, the seventh child added to our family.
Right.
The ninth person added to our family and our third son, so 7-7-93.
Right.
So that was pretty exciting, and after that, God saw fit not to give us any more.
Right.
So we didn't do anything to prevent pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
It was just God's completion, just trusting him that that's it.
That's fantastic.
The unique part of all that is that it took the pressure off of me to just allow God to flow and do this in his time. And that's, you know, where I was trying to time when we would get pregnant and how many kids we were going to have. And that seventh born was a tough one. Karen was, like she said, she was on bed rest for the last 100 days and hooked up to an IV.
Yeah.
And nurses in and out of the home for 100 days. And then when the day came for birth, Daniel was actually stuck. We couldn't get him out.
Yep.
And that was very scary, and I remember crying out to God at that time, and he finally turned around and came down and out, and we had a happy little Daniel and ended up with seven children in 9 years. So some of you people at Brookside know our three boys. They're always kind of clinging together, it seems like. And
They're called the brothers.
Right.
The brothers.
The brothers.
They're up in the choir. And, it's a real blessing that Karen and I just see our children in the choir, and their desire and zeal for the Lord.
Going on short-term mission trips just always looking for needs in the lives of other people. And I know I came home a couple weeks ago. We had stopped over to your house for lunch and came home, and there was Daniel running my snowblower, cleaning my driveway. I told him how to get in and drop my key off, and next thing I know, he'd figured out how to do the snowblower, and boom, everything was gone. And I mean, just that kind of a spirit is such a blessing to be able to have in the lives of your children.
Amen.
Yeah, praise the Lord.
Praise
the Lord.
That's the truth.
I did want to go back to our third born, Mandy. I forgot to mention, when Mandy was born, she was born not breathing and came out. And I remember the doctor asking me a question of if he could do this or do that with Mandy. And it was like, well, whatever you have to do, Doc, you know, get her breathing.
Yeah.
But most of all, Karen and I immediately went to the Lord and we cried out to God and asked him, Lord, would you please breathe your breath into Mandy? And we finished that prayer. And I remember the doctor popping up and saying something just like squished
in her lungs
through Mandy, as though God actually breathed life into Mandy.
Wow.
And just at the right timing, if it would have been another minute or so, we probably would have lost Mandy.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
You know, just so sweet and special to see how God had his hand on all these children.
Now, you guys have been talking about crying out to God, crying out to God, crying out to God. Sounds like prayer is a pretty important part of your lives.
Yep, it is.
Well, we never seem to do enough, but, you know, it's where else do you turn? What else do you do?
Right.
It's like, you know, God is real to us.
Well, recently he's given you more opportunities to pray, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Yes, he has.
Sure.
Yeah.
So tell me what's going on now where God is saying, okay, we're going to stretch that prayer life a little bit more.
Let's see. Back in April 2013, I was having a problem with my left pupil was blackening, so I had to seek out a doctor for that to find out why is my eye pupil blackening.
Mm-hmm.
And that led to a CAT scan of my brain and MRIs and different testing of my brain, and was found that I had a brain aneurysm.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a pretty good size aneurysm. And
it needed to be repaired.
It needed to be taken out or fixed or repaired or whatever they did. Right. At that time, I didn't know how they handled it. But I was led to a doctor at Frater that mentioned that he could actually coil the brain aneurysm. Well, first of all, to find a brain aneurysm is really unusual.
Right. So God gives you a dark eye.
Right. Normally you find a brain aneurysm after it's burst and done damage to your brain.
Yeah.
And most people die from that mm-hmm. once it bursts. So we were really felt blessed that this was found without that happening first, of course. So we did end up having the surgery done on June 4th, 2013, and it was a successful surgery. The doctor fixed the aneurysm, and he put a stent in next to it, and things went real well with that.
Right.
And then fast-forwarding a little bit, 5 months after the surgery, we had a follow-up MRI to check the blood flow of the aneurysm.
Where the surgery was,
Make sure things are going well. And that day we met with the surgeon, and he's reading the scan, and he kind of had a little puzzled look on his face and said, well, I need to tell you two things, Tom and Karen. There's two things here that are going on. And he went on to share. The first thing was that the blood flow of the aneurysm was good. The surgery was successful, and things went well. And then he kind of stalled for about 20 minutes, and we actually forgot about the second thing. You know, is he going to tell us what's going on or not? And he kind of put it off a little bit, and finally he came out and told us that you have what's called a hot spot in your brain, meaning a big ball of cancer.
We're going to break right there. You will definitely join us the next time as we hear what has God done in Tom's life, Karen's life, and their family since the discovery of cancer. Join us next time. God bless you.